As an interim minister, I serve a slightly different function than Chris and Lauren, your last settled minister, and possibly the only Unitarian Universalist minister many of you may have known. Settled ministry, why, that's probably an oxymoron, since there is nothing really settled about ministry, since all of your ministers serve at your pleasure. For those of you new to the process, the settled minister is chosen by a search committee of your congregation and presented to the congregation after two sermons and a week of getting to know you, and are voted on by your membership. This will probably occur in late spring 2021. There are then a couple of ways that a settled minister leaves, resigns or retires, or a negotiated resignation, and this could be something contractual, or it may be a conflict between the minister and some of the congregations. And a third way a settled minister may leave is a vote by the congregation, which usually divides a parish. I have been with congregations where ministers left by each of these options. Now, the interim minister, me, is contracted by your board leadership, sometimes for a single year, but maybe for additional years, but usually to meet specific needs that the congregational leadership feels are necessary. In other words, the interim minister comes pre-fired. I come pre-fired. For settled ministers, leadership in UU congregations has been described as herding cats or moving a wheelbarrow full of frogs. For interim ministry, since it usually involves implementing some changes, some deliberate, some unintentionally, I get a different image. These changes may have the effect of blowing an air horn in a field of newborn piglets. And you hear a lot of squealing, and you see the young piglets going in all directions. I'll give you a moment to absorb that image. But if I have been hired to make some noise, coming pre-fired has its advantages. First is that I have a job to do, and I have a limited time to do it. There is a story, and like all my stories, they are true. Maybe like Vice President Biden's stories. But I won't vouch for its factual nature. It goes like this. A newly ordained UU minister had been installed as an interim in a church in Western Massachusetts when he decided to move the piano to the opposite side of the pulpit. It was over on this side with the choir. He looked at the layout and decided the placement was obvious for acoustic as well as aesthetics consideration to put it over here. His interim year went horribly, and he left for another church after a year of doing the interim work. As he left the church, he noticed the choir director and some of the choir members were moving the piano back to its original position. 18 years later, he returned to the church and met the settled minister who had been there 15 years. And when he came into the sanctuary, he noticed it was placed back where he had left it and asked the settled minister. She said the piano was only really right in the location where it was. And she had noticed it the moment she had came into the sanctuary. Well, when did you move it? He asked. And she said, I moved it right away, but an inch at a time. Change is something that needs to be managed, because change, even the right one, causes anxiety. No one likes change. I take the position that necessary change will occur. You either control it or it controls you. Another difference between settled ministry and interim ministry is the interim minister has five basic duties. First, I got to go into the community and find out about you so that you can come to terms with your congregational history. This is vital, especially vital after the abrupt departure of Chris and Lauren at the beginning of this year. It's also important because all histories contain secrets, and secrets seem to carry their own problems. Part of your history is to look at your secrets, and part of your history tells you, for instance, that the median date of a member who signed the book for membership did so in December of 2012, which means that half of you, probably the half that isn't here, have only been members for 7 years and only have known Chris and Lauren as their only ministers. This means that the other half of the members are not short-time members, and the chances are these have been there longer, much longer than 7 years. Why is this so? We really don't know. I have heard it said that the UU faith isn't for everyone, but for people who become members, they saw something in us that made them want to join. But that may be only partially correct. But it does say something about who we are. I'd like to put it this way. We are friendly, but sometimes not as welcoming as we could be. We don't integrate people into our membership as easily, and sometimes they leave. I also think people come to us because of our principles, and when they see that principles being lived with the imperfection of being human, like Miss Perfect, they are put off, like watching sausage being made, and then you don't want to eat it afterwards. We see this with the number of people who visit us every year and come a few times and then never return. This visiting is relatively high in Unitarian Universalism. At one of our general assemblies at Salt Lake City a few years ago, a Mormon official once remarked that given the number of people who visit us, we should be one of the largest denominations in the country. Another reason I think we push people out the door is we tend to have members who are fundamentalist in their own way, like politically. In my congregation, when I was in West Virginia, I had an evangelical atheist who would figuratively meet people at the door and tell them why there is no God. I found similar feelings here about Christianity. Organ music may put off people because of its association with a past Christian experience. It seems many of our churches are more open to all religions, maybe except Christianity. If you look at the demographics of the area, for instance, there are probably lots of disenchanted Christians who are out there looking for a home. And if you want to grow, you need to find ways of welcoming them on their terms, not necessarily ours. Okay, let me be blunt. Many of the potential UUs who are out there are not rational humanists who have thrown the baby out with the bathwater, but of their religion of origin, but are looking for something more spiritual and might include something of the religious organization they had left. This isn't to say that rational humanism isn't a big part of who we are, but it isn't the only part of who we are. If we want to grow, we have to truly accept religious diversity, including being liberal Christian UUs. Well, so much for my soapbox this morning. Another reason you bring in someone who is new into the community is the outsider comes with a little different vision. One more story, this one about the Muslim Nasruddin taking his donkeys to market and stopping several times because he thinks he's lost one. While he's riding, he counts seven. When he gets off, he counts eight. In this way, an interim sees as an outsider and an observer. But when you're on the donkey, the view is very different. The second job of interim ministry is to examine your leadership or organizational needs and occasionally make these changes that need to be made. Big personnel changes should not occur under a settled ministry because the alliances you members make and establish with staff. Likewise, big building projects shouldn't occur under settled ministry either. It gets back to how much instability occurs with change. It isn't just within churches. This is within all phases of our lives. When I was flying in the Air Force, we recognized that changes like moves, marriages or divorces, births and deaths, and other milestones of our lives affect how safely we flow. It is the same with big events in your life. It affects the relationship we have both in families and in organizations. Anyway, getting back to organizational needs, like my monk with his raft, you as a congregation have spent many years building up some very elaborate structures, both physically and organizationally, that you pull along that might not meet your needs at present. Part of my job is to help you figure out if there are any of these and what they are, and necessarily shed them. Once more, creating change and therefore stress. I've already changed the janitors working directly for the minister to reporting to the administrator, Jen. A third task of interim ministry is to help figure out what resources you have available. It is like when I was doing work as chaplains in hospitals. Chaplains do not bring anything to patients, but help the patients see what resources they have available within themselves and their families and their communities. So far, I've seen lots of resources you have available within this congregation, especially your associates programs. You have some untapped assets in the greater Seacoast area at the UNH and Maine University systems and the UUA and the district that will probably work to assist you. The fourth job of interim ministry is to help develop your identity and vision. That is to answer the question, who am I and where am I going? Let me use an analogy that this organization is a car that has four seats. In each seat are vision, relationships, programs, and management. In this analogy, vision provides spiritual and strategic direction. Relationships connect us to each other, and ministerial programs function to connect us to relationships through education, fellowship, and management administers the resources, programs, and decision-making. So who's driving? Vision was driving at the beginning of the millennium when you incorporated the associates program. There was a quote from Proverbs that goes, without a vision, the people die. Since then, I feel the vision has been relinquished, the steering wheel to resources and the management, primarily because of the great need this wonderful building exhibits. There is a story that might illustrate this. There was a family gathered for Easter dinner, and the tradition was the youngest newly married daughter prepared the family ham. And she also put it in a large pan in the oven and began baking. And her mother-in-law stopped her and said, you have to cut off 3 inches of the ham before you bake it. Puzzled, the daughter asked why. Because that's the way my grandmother taught us to do it. And the daughter sought out the grandmother and asked, why you cut off 3 inches from the ham? And the grand said, that's the way my mother taught her to do it. And that's the way the family has always done it. She went on and asked the great-grandmother in the living room where the family was gathered, and Nana, why is it necessary to cut 3 inches off the ham before you cook it, she asked. Well, dear, when I was a young bride and just starting out, I baked my first ham at Easter dinner, and the ham was 18 inches long and the pan was only 15. So I had to cut off 3 inches. Vision moves over for management. This time, we will be looking at vision again. My final job as the interim is to leave. This has always been the hardest for me, and I think hardest for the congregation. Like with Chris and Lauren right now, I have to cut off all relationships with you as individuals. This is so that you will make a commitment to your new leadership And one reason that we have interim ministry is to give congregations the time to finish grieving the loss of settled ministry so that you can move on to the next settled ministry. Now, settled ministry has been called marriage-like. You try to pick somebody who is just perfect, but in reality, you hope they are real like the Swedish grandmother or somebody who has the imperfection that is our humanity. Then the congregation makes a long-term commitment to the minister, and the minister makes a long-term commitment to the congregation and community. They buy homes, they move their families here, they become immersed in the community and community projects. Interims, by contrast, rent and don't get much involved with the local social justice as they would like. For that reason, outreach and social justice causes during the interim period has to fall upon the congregations. Now, if you see settled ministry as marriage-like, you can see the interim ministry as a cruise. Both the congregation and the minister meet on a cruise ship, and they have a grand affair learning about each other. They will dance too late and probably eat and drink too much, and generally have a good time, partially because they know the ship will come into port, and we will disembark and probably never see each other again. But the real danger in this illusion is that you look to the captain to marry us. In other words, I can't be your settled minister no matter how much we seem to mesh in an ever-evolving and never-ending world. Amen.